This podcast is brought to you by Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. Do what I did and update your smile. Call 844-A-PERFECT-SMILE. When you change your smile, you change your life.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Massive explosion now has rocked Lebanon's capital in Beirut.
There has been a massive explosion, leaving an unknown number of people injured in Beirut, in the harbor.
A major fire at a warehouse there that was holding fireworks.
People have described as like a mushroom cloud, and then a sonic wave that was heard and felt miles away.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Biden doesn't want to debate. He's incoherent at best.
I'm confused who I'm talking to here.
We've seen many of his gaffes from his basement.
They'd actually breathe in my nostrils to make me move, to get me moving.
They're afraid to put him on a debate stage. If you cannot debate in front of the American people and make your case as to why you should be president, then you should not be president.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
Extensive research shows that there is fraud in vote-by-mail systems. It's extraordinarily rare.
With regard to the absentee system, that's right. And there is ample evidence of fraud. The best example of this, and very recent, was May 12th, New Jersey's special election in Paterson, New Jersey. 1 in 5 mail-in ballots were found to be fraudulent.
Bing!
New Jersey officials were charged in that case.
Bing again.
And resident Ramona Javier said there are 8 relatives and immediate neighbors she knows of listed as having voted, but who insist they never even received a ballot.
Bing!
Bing!
Unchained and unstoppable.
I literally talk to people all day long who are now in the Hamptons house. And I say, you gotta come back. Come over, I'll cook. They're not coming back right now.
This was one of those truly glorious Hampton weekends that you always hear about. Yeah, I may move out there.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. You know, the liberals have been talking about how we need to reimagine policing. It's become a cliche. And now the teachers' unions are getting involved as we get closer to the beginning of school, or what should be the beginning of schools in the fall, and they want to redesign learning. As far as I can see from reading the statements from the teachers' unions, redesign learning means nobody goes to work for a few more months. A few more months off for the teachers' union and the little children don't get to go to school. They don't get to socialize. They don't get to have a lunch at school, not to mention breakfast or dinner. And so it's, I guess everything is going to be locked down until, oh, how does November 3rd sound?
As long as this reimagining doesn't involve a song type deal from A-list celebrities, then I'm okay.
You don't want to do reimagine learning.
No.
It's easy if you can.
Gal Gadot, it didn't work the first time. I do not want to hear it again.
All right. Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. 844-500-4242. That's the toll-free number if you would like to join us here this afternoon, every weekday afternoon. And with me is Grace, and she has got the news of the day.
I do indeed, Howie. I want to start with the story we were both interested in this morning. It's open letter season, okay? It's corona, it's quarantine, but there's been a lot of open letters getting out there from people who have been wronged by the fake news media. First, it was Barry Weiss from the New York Times.
Right.
She wrote how really PC culture had affected her writing, and she was being bullied by the tolerant liberals right. that she worked with.
And it was so bad in the New York Times that if people were nice to her, they were bullied.
Yeah.
You could be canceled just for being nice to somebody who was on the bleep list.
That's another level.
Posse.
Of wokeness. When you start going after, well, it's kind of like what we said about the kneeling. It's okay for people to kneel. I don't have a problem with it. We live in a country where you can do that. But now it's become, you're going to get in trouble if you're not kneeling. It's all going to the next level of this right. world that the AOCs are creating.
Right. So that guy, I think he plays for the Orlando Magic, the one guy who didn't kneel or stood up for the national anthem, then he becomes the new Colin Kaepernick of 2020. Right,
he's our Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, he's ostracized.
He's the bizarro Colin Kaepernick.
Right, exactly.
Oh, I get it. He's persona non grata now.
Like, why did you stand for the national anthem?
You redneck.
What's wrong with you?
Right.
What are you, Drew Brees?
What are you, a racist? Yeah, it's really getting out of control. But which brings me to our first news story. An MSNBC producer has resigned from the network with a scathing letter on her personal website in which she said they block diversity of thought and amplify fringe voices. If you go on to read it, she also says that the network has become a cancer where all they care about is... She also admits that, yes, it is the news business. Every TV station cares about ratings, but they were specifically only putting up stories that they thought would help their ratings. And then this is the part I thought really explained it best. She said, "This cancer risks human lives even in the middle of a pandemic. The primary focus quickly became what Donald Trump was doing poorly to address the crisis rather than the science itself. As new details have become available about antibodies, a vaccine, or how COVID actually spreads, producers still want to focus on the politics. Important facts get buried. This cancer risks our democracy even in the middle of a presidential election. Any discussion about the election usually focuses on Donald Trump, not Joe Biden, a repeat offense from 2016. Trump smothers out all other coverage. Also important is to ensure citizens can vote by mail this year, but I've watched that topic get ignored or killed numerous times."
Who did she work for, this woman?
She described herself as an integral member of the MSNBC primetime show, The Last Word with Lawrence, or as I like to call him, Larry O'Donnell.
He went to Harvard, folks. He's the Stop the Hammering guy.
Yeah, I was going to say we know him better for Stop the Hammering.
We know for St. Seb's and Harvard because we're from around here, but most people know him for this. Can we have it? Okay, we'll have it in a moment.
Well, I was going to say, Howie, I also know him from his segment. He basically did a Hate Mail Monday about you on his show one time where he said, "Howie Carr thinks he's from Boston. Howie Carr is from Maine." He really cracked that case.
Stop the hammering. Stop the hammering out there. Who's got a hammer? Where is it? Where's the hammer? Is it on the... go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the hammering. Stop the hammering.
If I had
He's
a hammer.
He's also the one who said that didn't Deutsche Bank have something on Donald Trump? He made up some story and then he had to totally retract it the next day because the Trump people said, you know, we understand Times versus Sullivan and it's hard to sue, but this story was so maliciously, egregiously false that it meets all the standards of a successful libel suit.
But that's the funny thing. Even when they retract it, like he came out to retract the story the next night, even more smug. Like they go from "I made a mistake" to "you should pat me on the back because I admit my mistakes," unlike Donald Trump, who lies and never admits it. They don't want any repercussions. They just want you to say, "Thank you so much for offering that retraction." Well, now get back to lying.
Didn't he say, "We can't say it's not completely true, but we just have to do a little more vetting on it"?
The Mueller standard.
Yes, we cannot exonerate you. Exactly. Guys, I wanted to let you know, Grace's news. We have plenty more news to get to, including a lot of TV news, Seinfeld, The Simpsons, and also MSNBC. Tons of breaking news on that. But I wanted to let everybody know that Grace's news is brought to you by Toyota of Portsmouth, the house of value. I got my RAV4 XLE at Toyota of Portsmouth. And Howie, I absolutely love it. But more importantly, I loved the experience of buying it, or leasing it, I should say. Everyone there, from sales to financing, from Jim Boyle, who Howie knows, to Brad, my friend, to Matt in financing, they all made me feel so comfortable, so cared about. There was no pressure. It was not one of those things where you had to do anything. They just want you to get the car that you want, including any special features. I like a sunroof. Anything you want, they make it happen. Toyota of Portsmouth has a huge, sparkling, clean showroom. That was the first thing I noticed, was how clean, and this was before COVID. They are just, everything is top notch. Everything is so, it's just the top quality. They are located just south of the Portsmouth traffic circle off 95. Go to toyotaofportsmouth.com or visit them at the showroom and tell them that Grace sent you. I love these guys. I love Toyota of Portsmouth. And everyone here knows I love my new car. It's fabulous.
Toyotas are a good product. Very reliable. Indeed.
And very fashionable now. Mm-hmm.
If you're thinking of replacing your carpets due to pet stains and odors, you must try Genesis 950 first. It breaks down the bonds of stains and odors so they're gone from carpets and padding for good. You can use it in a carpet cleaning machine, and it's green, so it's safe for family and pets. It was the go-to cleaner for when my dog, Mr. Gooner, had an accident, as older pugs so often do. Before you purchase new carpeting and go through all that hassle and expense, you must try Genesis 950. 1 gallon of industrial strength Genesis 950 makes up to 7 gallons of cleaner, and it's not just for pet stains, it's a disinfectant that kills viruses. It's also great for kitchens, garages, grease stains, wheels, tires, and more. Save yourself the trouble of going to the store in your neighborhood and seeing your favorite cleaner sold out yet again. Genesis 950 is made in America, and as we like to say, buy American, support America. Order a gallon direct at genesis950.com. Enter code Howie to get more than a $10 value in savings, including free shipping and a free spray bottle with a 1 gallon purchase of Genesis 950. Go to genesis950.com and enter code Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
You're tuned into the Howie Carr Radio Network.
This is Jeff in Woodstock, Connecticut.
This is Laura Benner in South Burlington, Vermont.
This is Jimmy Mack in Falmouth, Massachusetts, and this is The Howie Carr Show.
Experience the amazing benefits of Super Beets. Get a free 30-day supply, free shipping, and free nitric oxide strips when you test your nitric oxide levels with your first purchase as you visit www.superbeetsradio.com/Howie. That's www.superbeetsradio.com/Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Should debates be a requirement in a presidential election?
I think everybody should do them, but I don't think they should be a requirement. I think we need fewer requirements in this society and more voluntary doing the right thing.
92% say they should be a requirement.
Okay. All right. We were just speaking about Jonathan Isaac from the Orlando Magic. He's the guy who stood up for the national anthem. His season is open. He has torn his ACL days after standing for the anthem. He's a devout Christian. He said he didn't believe kneeling was the way to show his support. And so now, of course, the woke mob is claiming victory. For once, they believe in God, and they think this is a message from God. They're not going to torch a statue of the Virgin Mary tonight in front of any Catholic churches.
I told you so is never a good look, but it's especially not a good look when someone, you know, gets hurt or dies. In the case of Herman Cain, but the left loves a good I told you so. So I want to talk a little bit about some TV news here. I want to start with the news about, and Taylor, correct me if I'm mispronouncing this, you would know better than I know, Renny Santoni.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay, he was known as Sloppy Poppy in several iconic Seinfeld episodes.
What is it that?
It's cucumbers.
No, you can't put a cucumbers on a pizza.
Well, why not? I like cucumbers.
That's not a pizza. It'll taste terrible.
Yeah, but that's the idea. You make your own pie.
Yes, but we cannot give the people the right to choose any topping they want. Now, on this issue, there can be no debate.
What gives you the right to tell me how I would make my pie?
Because it's a pizza.
It's not a pizza till it comes out of the oven.
It's a pizza the moment you put your fist in the dough.
So he was also known for an episode where Jerry catches him leaving the restaurant, which he's the chef at, without washing his hands, which would be a very interesting episode in 2020. And then Jerry refuses to eat the food because he knows he just watched him go to the bathroom and not wash his hands.
Howie, he was Clint Eastwood's partner in the first Dirty Harry movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. You got to speak his language, Grace.
Yeah, do you want to do a little, your favorite line? We know you want to do it.
Do you feel lucky, punk?
In other
you
news,
that was my favorite line, right?
Yes, I did.
It's everybody's favorite yeah, line.
Kind of standard. In other news that Howie would care about more, because this is really your nightly lineup that's being affected, MSNBC is rescheduling all sorts of programs. And I hope that this doesn't...
I miss Comrade Chris. If you're out there, Comrade Chris.
Wherever you are.
You know, you're back to being an altar boy in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, perhaps. But wherever you are, we miss you.
He must be watching the news lately and just be like, oh, Mom, I got it out at the right time. MSNBC is drastically...
I once was an altar boy at a mental institution here in Philadelphia. We called it Byberry. And I remember the priest said, I don't mind these people except when they touch me. And that turned me off a little bit.
Chris, here's hoping no priests are touching you today, this afternoon, as the hurricane goes up the eastern seaboard.
You're so kind. You're always sending out your best wishes to your old friends. Chuck Todd, who currently hosts Meet the Press during the 5 p.m. hour, will be moved to the 1 p.m. slot. Katie Turr, who hosts live from 2 to 4. I don't know why I'm even telling you guys this. I know no one watches it, but it's just a shakeup in the industry, so I thought you all could know.
You know, the thing is, when we were down in Florida broadcasting, sometimes I would go across the hall during the 5 o'clock hour to get some snacks. And I would always have to walk by this bank of televisions in Newsmax headquarters, and there would be F. Chuck Todd, you know, with his little squirrely goatee, lecturing me.
Yo,
I'm happy about this because at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I will never see him again.
Can I say something about F. Chuck Todd? And I know I have a lot of my own bad habits, which people point out. All the time. I touch my hair, I fidget, I move my hands too much. But I notice something about F. Chuck Todd when he's on his show. He leans a lot. Do you notice it? He's very close to the camera. And do I only notice that? Every time there's a picture of him, he's like this.
I try to just run away from the TV set.
I know, maybe I'm watching too much
of it. The monitor, that's the only place I ever saw him. He's bad.
This is another story I thought you'd be interested in, Howie. The actor who voices The Simpsons' Mr. Burns, Ned Flanders, and Dr. Hibbert speaks out about the show's decision to stop having white actors play people of color characters.
Right.
So this guy, and I'm going to quote him because I thought it was interesting. He said, I have a very simple belief about acting. The job of the actor is to play someone who they are not.
Right.
That's the gig. That's the job description.
We're going to have to cancel that guy.
I know.
He can't get away with saying something like that.
You could be the next Mr. Burns.
How racist can it be to say something like that, that an actor has to play somebody else?
Go ahead. Give us your best Mr. Burns. Oh, hello, Homer.
That's okay.
One impression a day.
Yeah.
In other news.
Well, do you? Do you feel lucky, punk?
God, we're back to Dirty Harry. The VIPs are in here now, though.
I'm a one-a-day guy when it comes to impressions. It's like vitamins.
Joe Biden's presidential campaign said theories, this goes back to our poll question, that he might skip the presidential debates are not grounded in reality, and suggested that is little more than a conservative, you guessed it, conspiracy theory.
Wait a second. All these Democrat operatives with press passes have been saying that. These are people who toe the party line every TV appearance, every column they write. And now they're saying they're Republican moles.
But here's the thing. Let's say you were a shut-in, okay? And you never went out of your house. You never went to dinner. You never had any friends. And then I invited you to a party. And my guess was you weren't going to show up. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's he's stuck in his basement all day and doesn't want to do live interviews. So we're assuming he won't get on a national stage and do a debate. It's less of a myth than it is following the clues. But, you know, what do they like to say? Follow the dots.
He can't even interact with Democrat operatives with press passes that are brought in there specifically to ask him softball questions like, gee, Mr. Vice President, you're from Delaware. And you haven't left Delaware in 3 months, so why are you in Delaware answering these questions?
Howie, the other day, someone left a Trump line message, and I didn't make it on the actual Trump line, but the guy said, Joe Biden gives new meaning to the phrase, do you know who I am?
That's why they take his driver's license away from him before they drop him at the mall or the dog track. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. We're going to take some calls this segment, but I wanted to first mention a really good column, I thought, today in the Wall Street Journal by Gerard Baker. He's one of the executives of the newspaper. The elites fiddle while America burns. This guy's been, you know, in New York, in Manhattan, while everybody else has fled the city and fled all the big cities. And he's just, he's obviously angry about it as he's seen what's happened to New York. Same thing that's happened to all the big cities. I mean, they've just been, as he puts it, hollowed out by first this COVID panic and then by the riots and the looting. And it's just, it's really a terrible tragedy what's happened to America's urban areas. The most intolerable irony of the past few miserable months has been listening to our self-appointed moral leaders lecture us on the nation's irredeemable sinfulness from the comfort of their own secure, well-upholstered positions, while we endure daily the urban nightmare of a world created by their political allies. You in on this one? This is a pretty good column, huh? As our cultural media and corporate chiefs deliver their social and political wisdom from their readouts in New York's Hamptons, Palm Beach, Florida, and the greener pastures of the San Francisco Bay Area, America's cities have been ravaged by successive predations of lockdown, disorder, and violence. The damage done by this indulgent summer of insanity may never be repaired. Monolithic democratic establishments in these cities have milked the more dynamic parts of their populations to feed their own ideological agenda while doing nothing to lift the least advantage out of their misery. This great meltdown of 2020 has exposed how rotten these urban establishments have become. The lockdown, that soul-crushing exercise in economic suicide, imposed and enforced largely by the people it least affects. So true. Has permanently demolished vast elements of the economic base of these cities' businesses that will never return, employees who have moved away or will work for home rather than tolerate the increasingly perilous lottery of commuting and working in a deteriorating urban environment. The victims of these crimes this summer are almost never the vocal elites safe in their well-protected homes and offices. They are the poorest and least secure of our neighbors. Gerard Baker continues. Meanwhile, political leaders, backed with money and words from their business allies, have responded with an elaborate performative exercise that has nothing to offer the daily reality but is designed to redraw the boundaries of our free thought. Think mask police. So, for example, those of us who stayed in New York this summer weren't permitted to worship in church, but we were allowed. We were more or less instructed to worship at the feet of those who preach hatred of the police, racial strife, and white self-loathing. Friends weren't permitted to attend parents' funerals, but the right people were free to travel across state lines to attend multiple funerals for political and public show. Think John Lewis last week. As cities are further hollowed out by crime and decay, taxes will rise, further stifling investment and growth, further harming the most disadvantaged and accelerating a vicious circle of decline. It's a needless tragedy engineered by ideologues that is sending into sharp reverse the gains made in large American cities in the early years of the 21st century. Already between 2015 and 2019, migration away from America's largest cities had accelerated, but now it's gotten worse. And worst of all, we have a corporate elite safely sequestered from the consequences of all this ruin, loudly helping it along by signaling their own virtue and denouncing our supposed vice. Pretty good. Pretty to the point of the in the sanctimony of the political and media leadership has just lecturing us, hectoring us day after day about our racism, our need to wear masks, et cetera, about how selfish we are for wanting the schools to reopen, for wanting the bars to reopen. I've had it. Linda, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Linda.
Hello, Howie. I'm probably going to get wicked tongue-tied because I'm speaking with you, but I'm Linda from New Hampshire, and I wondered what your opinion is. David Horowitz on, with the Blitz book, and Rush Limbaugh, and you know, a bunch of the other people like that, think that Trump is going to win, but the Democrats have done everything they could to get him out the last 3.5 years, and they haven't been able to.
Right.
Don't you think that they're, I mean, they're going to, I think that Trump won't win because they're going to be so underhanded, so unbelievable.
Well, I know. I know. That's the whole thing. That's the problem with this mail-in voting. I mean, obviously, the potential is there to fix the election. I mean, they've rigged elections before in this country. They've rigged them just this year in places like Paterson, New Jersey, and maybe in that congressional district in New York. I don't know, Linda, what's going to happen, but I do know that there are polls coming out now. The Cato Institute had one last week saying 62% of the people in America are afraid to express their real opinions about politics. And that included even a slight majority of Democrats, the vast majority of Republicans, two-thirds of blacks and Hispanics. And so it seems like the people more likely to vote for Trump are less likely to tell pollsters what they really believe. So I tend to think that the situation is not as dire as the polls in the last week or so indicated, now that polls seem to be coming back a little. But I'm more concerned about the potential for voter fraud with these mail-in ballots that are being promoted so much. I mean, it's just the stories are too widespread about the problems here. There was one story, I think somebody had lived in Washington or Texas, and they'd moved years earlier, and they'd gotten the mail-in ballots. The post office had just forwarded the mail-in ballots right to them, which I guess is better than just like throwing them away and letting somebody from Antifa come by and fill them out. I just that's what concerns me. I'm less worried about the polls than I am about the voter fraud, Linda. Thanks for the call. Paul, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Paul.
Howie, this is Paul from Michigan. I have two things I wanted to say. First, I see that the teachers' unions are actually promoting to shut down the schools.
Absolutely, yeah.
Rather than, and the second thing is, I don't know if anybody has thought of this, if this election, there's a lot of mail-in fraud, if this election is not certified by January 20th, the Speaker of the House automatically becomes President of the United States, and maybe there's not really a plan to worry about Biden getting in. If they can get enough counties in the United States to not certify anything, they don't get the vote counted accurately. Where are we?
I know. I mean, this is another problem. Lawrence Tribe, the Harvard University professor who was most recently seen trying to promote the fake Indian, Elizabeth Warren, to be the vice presidential nominee. Now he's resurfaced after that trial balloon went over like a lead balloon. He's now saying that, you know, no problems because, just as you said, Nancy Pelosi would become the president if there is turmoil after November 3rd, and there's no victor in the Electoral College, and they can't even vote. But you know, there's a way around that, Paul, and that's to elect a Republican majority to the House of Representatives, and then the president would become Kevin McCarthy or Jim Jordan or somebody else. I don't know. I mean, everybody has to get out to vote. I mean, the consequences of what could happen are dire. And the fact that James Clyburn is talking, the congressman from South Carolina, is talking about how Trump wants to remain in office and is trying to steal the election. I guess this is just another example of the projection from Democrats. They're accusing Trump and all of us deplorables of exactly what they would like to do or what they're planning to do. And this is just the latest example. I mean, does anybody, you know, and Clyburn over the weekend was also accusing Trump of being a Hitler or a Mussolini. So if Trump's Hitler or Mussolini, how are these guys going on TV and going in and writing stuff in the newspapers every day and on the internet, accusing him of being this worst guy in the world, and nothing ever happens to them? Journalists had more to fear under Barack Obama. The FBI was wiretapping him, chasing him around. The Internal Revenue Service was shutting down dissent through the slow walking all the Tea Party applications for nonprofit status. Trump hasn't done any of that. He hasn't wiretapped any journalists. He hasn't used the IRS as a political cudgel, you know? So what are they so concerned about? They just lost power. They worship power. That's all they want is power. That's their religion. Thanks for the call, Paul. Good points. James, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, James.
Hello, Howie. You have a great show there. God
Thank
bless you.
You.
Listen, they talk about defunding. Let's start defunding all these politicians. They get paid every week, every month. Let's go ahead and defund all the teachers. You don't want to teach? Stay home. You only work 170 days as it is every year. These people are out of their minds. They've all lost their minds. I swear to God, I can't believe what's happened to this country anymore.
James, they're just taking advantage of a situation. You know, they see that there's an opening. And I just read a letter last hour from one of the teachers' unions in Massachusetts. And they were saying, we can't go. They were saying, here's a statement. Do you agree or disagree with this to the members? And they say, we can't go back to work until every school district is properly protected from the ravages of COVID-19, because some of the districts are not as capable of responding to this pandemic because of systemic racism. Well, you know, and of course, the fact is, no young people are dying of this, not in Massachusetts and in most other states. Nobody under the age of 20 is dying. So where is the danger here? The danger is that if everybody goes back to school and we do get back to not a new normal, but the old normal, and Trump will be reelected. And that's what they want to avoid at all costs. And they're willing to keep the school shut down for as long as necessary to get Trump out of the White House. And it's ridiculous. And I'm with you. If the schools aren't going to be open, am I going to get a refund on my property taxes? You know? Schools are a large percentage of your property taxes if you own a home or a business. So if we're not going to have public schools, why are we paying these onerous property taxes? Thanks for the call, James. I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Radio Network.
This is Chris in Rochester, Mass.
This is Mark in Nashville, New Hampshire.
This is Lorna in Truckstown, Pennsylvania. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
If you want to hear some sound cuts from a sanctimonious, smug, officious, overbearing, overreaching politician, we've got one here in Massachusetts. And believe it or not, he's a Republican governor, Charlie Baker, or as Joe Biden calls him, Charlie Parker. And we've taken all of his sound cuts and we've just put him on what amounts to a jukebox. You can go whatever you want. If you want him talking about summer or how the sun's great or how he misses basketball, you can just go to our website, HowieCarrShow.com. It's right at the top of the page. And you can Charlie Parker's jukebox. Just listen to all of his stupid remarks. And we'll stack him up against anybody, maybe even Cuomo. You know, for being an overreaching guy. And he went to high school with Phil Murphy, the governor of New Jersey, here in suburban Boston, where we are. But here's Cuomo talking about how the rich people are fleeing New York State. Gee, I wonder why. Cut six.
I literally talk to people all day long who are now in the Hamptons house, who also lived here, or in their Hudson Valley house, or in their Connecticut weekend house. And I say, you got to come back. When are you coming back? We'll go to dinner. I'll buy you a drink. Come over. I'll cook. They're not coming back right now. And you know what else they're thinking? If I stay there, they pay a lower income tax.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because they don't pay the New York City surcharge.
And you know what? If someone hits them over the head and the cops catch the criminal, they won't get out with no bail. They'll have to stay in jail. How about that as an extra bonus? Forget the lower taxes. Yes, Grace.
If you're in the Hamptons in August, while New York City, or just New York in general, is as chaotic as it's ever been, and you choose to come back to have dinner with Governor Andrew Cuomo, I think you should go straight from dinner to a padded cell because you have lost your mind.
You know what? I'm not coming back to New York governor until George Pataki is governor again. And I'm not coming back until Rudy Giuliani is back as mayor.
Well, ask Chris Cuomo or Andrew Cuomo who makes the better recipe from their mother for the spaghetti sauce.
Oh, man.
Howie, you would come back under two conditions. He picked up the bill at dinner and they changed it back to the Tappan Zee Bridge. Sold.
I'd even pick up the tab for dinner if they'd switched the name back to the Tappan Zee Bridge from the Mario Cuomo span. That really bugs me, as I've made it clear in the past. Eddie, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Eddie.
Yes, how you doing? I'm watching your show, and I'm just grateful that you're like one of the few people out there other than Fox that actually try to tell the truth and do their research.
Thank you.
Fortunately, like I was saying earlier when we spoke, people like AOC and the president of media don't bother to do their research, especially on the idea of socialism, because it doesn't work. And also, they should take a lesson on the Spanish Civil War.
Yeah. Well, you know, Karen Bass, this woman, the congresswoman from L.A., who's being touted as a potential nominee of for vice president. She went down to Cuba over and over again, and she's saying, well, I didn't understand communism the way I do now. So when Castro died 4 years ago, she was 62 years old, and she put out this slobbering tweet about how the Cuban people were so devastated to lose their great El Presidente. So you're right. I mean, Eddie, you don't have to just be young and stupid like AOC. You can be old and ignorant or not care about the fruits of communism, which are all poisonous fruits, obviously. Thanks for the call, Eddie. Bob, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bob.
Bob, how are you, Howie?
Good.
Two points. One, President or Resident Obama was the worst president in the history of the United States on several levels. One, for supporting giving $1.8 billion cash to Iran. I don't even get how that could happen. And then two, you've got Susan Rice saying that she can handle the coronavirus. She couldn't even handle Benghazi, and she got caught lying her ass off about it.
Right. And then she wrote the CYA memo on the day that that Obama left office, which was just couldn't be any clearer what they were trying to do. They were trying to cover their tracks after trying to subvert the incoming administration. You're right. And now she wants to run as the vice president. They're all backbiting each other, you know. Susan Rice and Karen Bass and Kamala Harris, they're all going after one another. I've got a cut here. I don't think we have time to play it. Susan Rice also favors reallocating police funding, which I guess is like that's a version of rethinking policing. Rethinking, that's what they've been doing in New York when they did away with bail. How's that working out for them? What, shootings have doubled? It's worse. It's almost as bad as Chicago and New York now. Thanks for the calls, everybody. I'm Howie Carr.